Welcome back. First Take, Your Take. Peter Burns in for Mr. Jason Fitz. The show is always presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We're going to be joined by ESPN MLB insider Jesse Rogers. And big news that the Friday series opener between the Cubbies and the Cardinals has now been postponed after yet another St. Louis player has tested positive for COVID-19, that according to Major League Baseball. Now, the positive test marks the eighth Cardinals player to test positive for coronavirus since last week. Now, they've postponed that game to allow for some additional testing. And now, remember, the Cardinals have not played in a moment, right? They haven't played since July the 29th because of some of the different positive COVID-19 tests that they had. Remember, they announced earlier that they had returned 13 different positive tests from a traveling party, seven of them coming from the players. Now, they had got back on the field doing light workouts after being cleared to travel back from St. Louis from Milwaukee on late Tuesday. Now, again, this is bigger than just a Major League Baseball issue, right? Everyone right now is looking at Major League Baseball as please be our blueprint on how to best safely get sports back. It's easy for the UFC, who has to deal with just individual fighters in small camps. NASCAR is the same way. PGA Tour professionals are the same exact way. That's why you're seeing the PGA Championship being played right now. But it's different when you're talking teams that are not playing in the bubble. The whole bubble idea, it's expensive. It sure as hell is working, people. NBA has been fantastic. In fact, the WNBA put out a statement earlier today that said, hey, once again, we tested zero positive tests. MLS has had a whole lot of success. So what happens is that when Major League Baseball, back in late June, decided we're not going to go to a bubble, right? This is just not the way that it's doable. The guys don't want to spend that much amount of time. They knew they were going to have an uphill battle. Now, the difference is they thought at this time that, hey, whether it be the heat or whether it be just that the numbers were down, we'll be okay. Now, at some point, Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner, had to take a look at this and said, all right, do we need to revisit this? Because it's becoming that serious. Because now the idea is to play 60 games, right? That was in theory, okay? Well, you're not going to get 60 games from every single player or every single team at this point. It's just not happening. Unless you're going to play triple headers, right? Unless you're doing like Little League Baseball where everybody gets their juice box. Hey, we're going to play 5 innings or 10 run rule games. Dads are going to complain to the umpire making $6 an hour for these games. That ain't going to happen. You're not going to do that. So now you're going to have to change how many games each and every team can play. And the problem is, in the NFL, in college football, you're playing games once a week, so you can work with the schedule. When you start talking about this game, and you're already trying to get 60 games in to start the season in about, 66, 70 days, that you could not afford to have a traffic jam, right? It's like trying to make a flight and knowing, hey, I haven't given myself enough time to leave for the airport in case we catch traffic. Well, guess what? There's a whole heck of a lot of traffic right now. People are getting backed up back and forth, back and forth. And so now Cardinals positive COVID test. That is the breaking news. And our ESPN Major League Baseball insider Jesse Rogers now joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jesse, how big of a blow is this for Major League Baseball and trying to keep up with this this really fast-paced schedule right now?
Yeah, I mean, it hurts a couple ways. First of all, it really hurts the Cardinals. They're already playing 55 games in 52 days. If this weekend series is postponed and they try to play them all, it's going to be 55 games in like 49 or 48 days. It's just an insane schedule for them. It's certainly bad for the league, but it is still two teams, right? It is still just the Marlins and Cardinals that have had these outbreaks. So there's some positive in that, if you can find it. But then the other side of that is this incubation period, Peter. It's causing havoc. Whichever Cardinal tested positive today has tested negative for about a week. And that is putting the fear into players and teams. Okay, so now the one caveat in terms of getting back on the field against an opponent is, and I talked to Rob Manfred about this the other day, there isn't much cross-spread. We didn't see the Marlins infect the Phillies. And right, if there were some Cardinals that were positive when they played the Twins, they didn't infect the Twins. So you cross your fingers if they do get out there and play and someone's positive while the incubation period hasn't showed up yet, it won't affect the other team. So there's a lot of layers to this thing, but it's not good. It's certainly not good for the Cardinals.
It's not good because it ends up being something we have to break in and bother you in your busy day here on ESPN Radio. And it gets the scroll down on SportsCenter, but it is a, quote, another negative headline, right? Like, that's all we're seeing in COVID-19. However, with that being said, have we had any, and I don't feel like I've gotten this enough of the NFL or especially college football players, have we got anything other than, what was it, Eduardo Rodriguez for the Red Sox? Has there been any player that has tested positive for it that has not been able to return to said team or have had major issues that you know of, Jesse?
Not that I know of. It is certainly still somewhat early in the Marlins and Cardinals COVID world with those positive tests. There's always a chance someone is back longer than we expected, isn't back until, you know, much longer than we expected. In both cases, I do know there were players with mild symptoms, headaches, low-grade fever. No one that I know of needed to be hospitalized. I don't think that's been made public if it has happened. So cross your fingers that trend continues.
Yeah, again, because I think that's the bigger picture that people are taking a look at as well, too, is going, listen, the first thing you're going to say is, do you test positive for it? You can't stop this, right? It's almost impossible to eradicate this at this time. It's how do you mitigate how this is spread and how you can safely return to sports? So is it to a point where Major League Baseball would go, listen, I know we keep saying you're going to have to play 55 games in 59 days. Let's just don't think about the back end of this schedule. Let's just put that on pause and try to get their 60 games when you have healthy enough teams to be able to do it. Because I don't know how you maintain a schedule at this point, Jesse.
Right, and that's why it leaked a week ago, and I was kind of surprised that not every team is necessarily going to play 60 games, and they're just going to go off of winning percentage. The Cardinals are certainly facing a scenario like that if they cancel this weekend series. I talked to the commissioner the other day and asked him what would be the minimum games to qualify, and he didn't really have an idea or even a thought, and I don't think there should be a minimum. You can't penalize a team if they're one game short of some minimum. It's not their fault, right, necessarily. Obviously, if they're not doing the right things, maybe we can point to them, but I don't know. You have to make the best of it. I talked to a league source that said for now, they're just going to power through and sort of understand that this is still limited to two teams, even if there are some lingering positives here. And these two teams are up against it, but we saw the Marlins come out of their hibernation with a four-game sweep. Maybe the Cardinals can come out of it playing well, and then you figure out those makeup games as you move along here.
And maybe there's a way that because this has not been spread by the players competing against each other on the field, it's a wake-up call for the NFL, for college football, for every other team and league that's not playing in the bubble to say, guess what? If you don't take it seriously outside of this quote-unquote bubble that you're creating for yourself, the whole sport could be shut down. He is ESPN Major League Baseball insider Jesse Rogers. Jesse, great stuff. I appreciate you hopping on so fast with this breaking news.
No problem. Talk to you soon.
There it is, ESPN Major League Baseball insider Jesse Rogers joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Well, there is a game that's going to be scheduled to play. It's an AL West battle, so looking forward to that game as well as the A's are going to be hosting the Astros, and that is tomorrow. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern over on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, so moving forward here is because we're trying to figure that out. Major League Baseball does not have a bubble. Another sport that is not planning to have a bubble, that is the NFL. So ESPN Radio, Sirius XM host, and I believe international felon, Jeff Schwartz, is joining us right now. Now, Jeff, this caught my eye today. Not the Major League Baseball news, not the NFL news, but are you truly an international felon?
Well, I just paid my fine from the Switzerland Police Department in Basel, who sent me a letter. They sent me a letter probably 9 months ago telling me that I was speeding on their roads. I was 3 kilometers over the speed limit, and they sent me a letter letting me know that I was fined for said thing. I never paid it. And then they sent me a letter saying, like, I'm going to be a felon. If I don't pay it in 10 days, I'm going to go to jail, a prison for 240 Swiss francs, I believe. I'm going to be a felon. I'm going to go to prison to ever set foot in Switzerland again. You can commit as many financial crimes as you want in Switzerland, but don't pay a speeding ticket fine. You're going to jail.
I don't think they can extradite you. I don't think they're going to extradite you over like 4 miles over the speed limit, and it went on a trip that you took to Basel. So I mean, at that point, I'm almost thinking it would have been a whole lot cooler just to say Jeff Swartz International Criminal and Masterpiece. And I don't know if that would have hurt your background checks going forward. That's the only problem, Jeff.
It would have been funny if I showed up in Switzerland again and they just seized my passport and put me in prison for like a day. It would have been very... I would have to call the embassy and just make a whole mess of the whole thing. Would I have to use my contacts I've been saving up for favors from the NFL, get me out of a Switch... Those prisons might be nice. I don't know. I didn't even know they had prisons there.
Might be a hell of a
thing that they did. So
right. Yeah. Might end up being like a great view. Like if you could get it in Lucerne, right, or Vingen or something like that up in the Swiss Alps, it would be fantastic. Jeff Swartz joining us right now. All joking aside, Jeff, we just saw the news, Jesse Rogers, and the big news that the Cardinals' return to action has been postponed because of another positive COVID-19 test. Major League Baseball not operating inside of a bubble, nor will the NFL. How much of what is going on with Major League Baseball do you think is talked about among NFL owners and GMs and teams right now?
Well, I think they talk every day. And I think that players, I mean, I know players have been warned about the Marlins situation and how to avoid being in those situations where you're out and about. But look, the NFL has had time to ramp up the play, obviously. And part of what they've instituted getting back to play is very heavy fines for players that are found to be in spots they're not supposed to be in. And whether they're inside for too long or obviously in a bar or in a place that, I think even a church service is considered a possible finable offense to be in a place that's not really conducive to staying healthy. And, you know, their players, I think, for the most part, have done a good job. I think I saw that only 2% of the NFL, and when they return to work, tested positive for COVID. So that's a much lower number, obviously, than the average population who gets tested. So that's a good sign. Look, I think for the most part, and we're seeing this in baseball too, right? It's two teams that have had problems. The rest of baseball is fine. So the Cardinals and the Marlins. The NFL is going to be the same thing. We're going to have great participation in making sure that you stay healthy off the field. And 95% of the players, it's the 5% that we have to watch out for. And then lastly, too, remember, the Marlins did not follow the expert, basically the experts in shutting down. They had 4 positive tests. The epidemiologists told them to shut down. They played anyways. So the NFL has to follow protocols that they put in place. If 3 or 4 players test positive and the protocol says shut down for 4 days to figure it out, then shut down for 4 days to figure it out. The Marlins did not do so, and then it spread. But luckily it didn't spread to the Phillies, and they're able to play still.
Jeff, it's a great point. Former NFL offensive lineman and hell of a golfer, Jeff Swartz, who I saw firsthand in Pinehurst a couple of days ago, an international almost felon as well, joining Peter Burns here on First Take, Your Take. But it's a great point when you talk about, listen, Don Mattingly, and you look at the Marlins, they were texting each other saying, I know what's going on, but we still want to play, right? They knew how bad this was. Many different players had this, and yet against what they should have done, they ended up playing, and yet there was no issues to the opponent. And can you look at this as a positive for the NFL going, listen, they're not trying to play NFL games every single day. They're playing once a week. So ultimately, do you think the scheduling works in the NFL's favor that much more so because of the once a week and the testing opportunities that they have?
Yes, it does. And you have to make sure, obviously, to test well in advance of the game. But also, look, I know that people assume that we're in close quarters all the time. And really, on the offensive defensive line, we are. But otherwise, yeah, if you're wearing that face shield that they're talking about, kind of putting over the face mask, you shouldn't be. A lot of players are not going to be getting spit on like that and getting breathed on like that, especially if they're wearing that face shield. And we know that it does take more than just, like, an instant cough on someone to get sick, right? It takes up to 10 minutes, I believe, for the virus to kind of take hold if you're in a room where particles are being spread around. So I think they'll be okay. But one thing to also consider, too, is the travel, right? NFL travel is very restricted. And it'll be even restricted more this year. We traveled to our location the night before the game, or the day before the game. You go to a hotel. You will not be allowed to leave the hotel this year. I don't think you're allowed to be, you know, you're allowed to see family or friends either in the hotel. You're just going there. You're relaxing, preparing for the game, and then you wake up, you play the game, and you fly home immediately. So there's less time to even leave a hotel and get yourself in a situation where you can spread COVID. So I'm very, and I will remain positive through this whole ordeal that we will get football. We start. I can't tell you if we're going to finish, but I think NFL will start. College football, I have no idea. But I feel very confident the NFL will get through training camp and ready to play September 10th. Now, whether or not, again, it finishes, I don't know, but we're going to kick off to start the season.
Jeff Schwartz joining us, former NFL offensive lineman, and of course, NFL offensive lineman. That means you played college football. Of course, you did it for the Oregon Ducks and did it extremely well. And let's talk college football here for a moment here. Peter Burns here on First Take, Your Take. We saw the news of the Pac-10. They also released a Players United statement along with the Pac-12 a few days earlier. How was Big Ten's statement about college football and the unity they want received compared to what the Pac-12's quote-unquote demands were received?
Yeah, it's really interesting today, too, by the way. Ohio State came out and said, we're not part of this demand letter from the Big Ten. So the Big Ten players' letter focused almost solely on COVID protocols, and making sure the players stay healthy. And look, and even kind of beyond, you know, if we get sick with COVID or we have a long-term health, you know, issue because of COVID, a symptom, you know, you should cover us for that. The Pac-12 letter covered part of that as well, the top of Section 1, but also covered a lot of economics and also a big section of racial injustice, you know, forming a committee, a black student conference for Pac-12 athletes, and also donating some of the profits to some of the issues that the players deem acceptable. And so that's a big difference, is that one was just focused on kind of now, making sure they can start healthy. The Pac-12 was worried about more of the financial implications of playing college sports. And those are no-goes. I mean, they met with Larry Scott last night, supposedly. The 12 players did, and they told him the economic stuff is not going to happen. And yeah. I told you when we were golfing, I firmly believe it. We're going to have almost no one sit out because they're boycotting. Will we have players sit out because of COVID? Sure. And we've already seen the top players do that. I expect there to be more top players sitting out. Will we have players of any magnitude saying, hey, I'm not playing because our economic demands are not met? I don't see that happening. And so I appreciate the energy the players have put forth, understanding they have a voice, and they have a strong voice, and that they feel that their health and safety is not being looked after from the conference level. It's important to note that Oregon football players and Stanford, I've seen so far, have said our individual programs are doing a really good job of keeping us healthy. It's just we just want to see it from the conference level. So those things are great, and those will be dealt with. The economic stuff is misguided, in my opinion, especially now, and they're not going to see any changes now.
And it might just be part of their wanting to negotiate within the media and within these demands so they get a little bit of a what they feel is a fairer shake when the name, image, and likeness guidelines come out a little bit later that Congress is trying to decide on what to do. Fantastic stuff, man. I'm glad you paid your bill, that you can go back to Switzerland, and maybe that's that'll be the next time we go tee it up back there.
Let's do it. The ball will fly in the mouth. I could use some thin air on those drives.
You just got to get the ball up in the air. That's the only issue. You just need to, work with Koepka. You've got the you look like Bryson DeChambeau already for how big and thick you are. So we just get a little altitude under the golf ball. You'll be in good shape, my friend.
Let's do it.
Welcome back. First Take, Your Take. Not Jason Fitz. You're hanging out with Peter Burns here for about the next 30 minutes or so. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. This show is always presented by Progressive Insurance. Remember, the NBA is back. Tune in. You're going to be able to get to see Zion eventually as the Pelicans host the Spurs. Not going to be playing today, but presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 2:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Everybody's kind of jockeying for their position right now in the NBA playoffs, and it's great right now. I mean, I think it's the amount of things I have learned from the NBA, and you could argue that it might be the truest NBA championship ever, right? Once the seedings are going to be set, the rosters are pretty much going to be full, and you're going to have basically just the best tournament ever, right? No fans, no travel, just plain basketball. May the best team win. I don't think that is the Los Angeles Lakers right now. I have some questions on whether or not it's even the Clippers. To me, it's still going to be the Milwaukee Bucks. And if you saw what they did last night against the Heat, they were down 17 at half, 23 at one point, and they had two different 20-5 runs. And Chris Middleton afterwards said it was just effort, right? And once they clicked it, they flipped that switch, and they look like the best team in the NBA. At least we know what these teams look like. I don't know what the NFL or college football is going to look like right now. Bleacher Report's NFL draft scout and insider Matt Miller is joining Peter Burns here on First Take, Your Take. Matt, we were going back and forth on Twitter and via text about it right now. We've seen as many as 23 players have decided to opt out, and now news saying that as many as 20-plus players did not show up for Citadel's practice today. Let's start with this. What were your biggest takeaways of the big names that have decided to opt out and take their talents to try to play on Sundays from college football?
Yeah, Peter, I appreciate you having me on, man. I think with the guys that we've seen, no surprises, right? And one common thread with the players who've opted out so far and went ahead and declared for the draft is they're all first-round caliber prospects. Micah Parsons is the best linebacker in the country, maybe the best defensive prospect for the 21 draft class. Gregory Russo, if Micah Parsons isn't the best defensive player, Gregory Russo is. 19.5 tackles for a loss, 15.5 sacks last year. Caleb Farley at Virginia Tech, best corner in the country. These are three players who I have ranked in the top 10. And so they had every right to you know, make this decision and go ahead and get ready for the NFL. But also I think it's unique that we're looking at guys who across the board NFL considers them first-round picks. But then also it's that they're at programs where, no disrespect to Penn State, Miami, or Virginia Tech, you're mm-hmm. not making a run for a natty this year. You're not Clemson, LSU, Ohio State, Alabama. And I think that's the common thread that we're going to see. You know, I'm shocked that Chuba Hubbard hasn't already left Oklahoma State. I'm pretty surprised that Kylin Hill hasn't left Mississippi State, because these are players who are, you know, we knew last year, these are good players, and now you're at programs where you don't have a great chance to make a long run at the postseason, or you're at programs like Chuba Hubbard at Oklahoma State where you've had some controversy with your head coach.
Yeah, Matt Miller joining us here for Bleacher Reports. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. It's interesting about Kylin Hill, because Kylin Hill, remember earlier this year, used his voice for some good. He stood out and said, "Listen, yeah. I don't feel comfortable playing for in the state of Mississippi unless the flag is changed." Ultimately, that tweet led to a bunch of different athletic directors for throughout the state and coaches going up to the state capital of Jackson. They decided to take down the state flag, which had the Confederate flag and put inside it. But Kylin Hill tweeted yesterday, he goes, "Man, I'm going to look great in this offense at Mississippi State." Now, of course, remember, Mike Leach is now the new head coach, and so he likes the offense that Leach is going to bring. What does this mean for the Travis Etienne's, the Trevor Lawrence's, the Justin Fields? I mean, they just saw, let's take just Lawrence and Fields, they just saw Joe Burrow sign $35 million deals, Matt. Like,
yeah.
Both of those would be, I would imagine, top five picks if they didn't play another down of college football, right?
Yeah, you have to think so. I think Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he could never play again, and he would be the number one pick, or the number one prospect, the presumed number one guy. I think with Justin Fields, there are a little bit more questions, but more so coming off that knee injury that he had last year. And I think, right or wrong, Ohio State, that scheme's still getting knocked, where people are like, "Man, how much of it's the scheme? How much of it's the player?" Of course, we saw that, you know, that used to be the thing at Oklahoma, and then Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts seem to at least shatter that opinion, to where they're all, you know, two of those guys are drafted first overall and one's the second round pick. So I think with Justin Fields, like, he has a chance to bust some of those narratives about that Urban Meyer, Ryan Day offense and what type of players come out of there. But, you know, there are a lot of guys. Jamar Chase, I know Jamar has said he's going back, as has Justin Fields. Penny Sewell to Oregon, another player. I don't think he has anything left to prove after what we've seen from him the last 2 years there playing left tackle. So there's a lot of players, honestly, where I look at the landscape and it's like, "Man, what do you have to prove?" Like you said, Joe Burrow's getting $35 million guaranteed. What do you have to prove? And I think for Trevor Lawrence, it's, you know, he wants to play better than he did last year. Probably wants to win a Heisman. Probably wants a chance to win a national championship. I would think Justin Fields and, you know, the multitude of players at Alabama are all probably feeling the same way.
Matt Miller joining Peter Burns here on First Take, Your Take, courtesy of the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. As always, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And Matt, I want to ask you an insurance question, not about Progressive, but they're fantastic. But so many of these guys are all ultimately will take out some type of insurance based on, hey, if they blow out a knee or they get injured. How does that process work for someone who says, you know what, I'm let's say, you know, whoever. Let's say I'm Trevor Lawrence. What does that process look like for him to go to an insurer to make sure that he's going to be taken care of even if something happened?
Yeah, you know, honestly, those guys talk to people like me, and they talk to, you know, guys like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and say, where is Trevor Lawrence valued at? And you give a range, you know, top 10 pick, first round pick, round two pick, round three pick, day three pick. So you give them kind of that range. And then, you know, actually the schools can pay for those policies, which is a really nice thing for the players that would protect them. I would imagine Trevor Lawrence has one of these. If he doesn't, someone should get him on the phone immediately and make sure he gets one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's going to be, you know, valued as a top five pick. So he's going to get that. You know, the thing with those, though, Peter, I've never heard of a player actually collecting on those. I think it makes it very hard for you to, you know, prove that an injury caused a drop in draft stock. Even like Jalen Smith back in the day had one, and I think he had a really hard time, you know, proving that, hey, I fell in the first round because of knee injury. This insurance claim should be paid out. So that is something that, you know, the players have to be smart about. I think it probably gives them more peace of mind than it does, you know, an actual opportunity to cash in on something like that.
We're talking with Matt Miller. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. Ultimately, we've talked so much about quarterbacks in the NFL, and rightfully so. You saw Tua go early last year to the Dolphins. Of course, Joe Burrow overall number one to the Bengals. But after we get by Justin Fields and after we get by Trevor Lawrence over at Clemson, give me one or two other quarterbacks that if you don't think your team, you think your team is going to be looking for one, let's say, I'm just going to say, let's say the Steelers or something, they say Ben Roethlisberger is, we don't know what his future is going to bring, but we're not going to be probably more than likely a top five pick. What are the other big names that we need to be looking for if we do have college football this year?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are going to drive the conversation. Trey Lance at North Dakota State is a really interesting player as we're, I mean, literally sitting here today waiting to see if the Missouri Valley Conference is going to move to spring football, because Trey Lance last year was dynamic. No interceptions, getting it done on the ground and through the air. His game tape looks like a highlight tape. I mean, you're watching him just carve people up and not make mistakes. It's rare. After those three quarterbacks, though, there is a gigantic drop-off this year. And I think we're all, you know, we can all look back at Joe Burrow last year and be like, man, this guy kind of came out of nowhere. So could a Kyle Trask make that jump? Ian Book at Notre Dame, Kellen Mond at A&M. Those are probably the biggest names. I'm a huge Texas Longhorns fan, as you know, and I love Sam Ellinger. I don't know that he's going to be viewed as, you know, a high-profile NFL prospect. He's a great college quarterback and a really, you know, upstanding individual, but a little bit limited in terms of the arm talent. I think the same could be said for Shane Buechele, who left Texas to go to SMU, who's a little bit undersized. So there's, you know, there's not that one guy that jumps out. Even, I mean, you could look at Georgia, whether it's JT Daniels or Jamie Newman who wins that job, there's going to be some intrigue for those guys as NFL prospects. But there's not that guy right now that checks all the boxes of, okay, if he just plays well, he has, you know, the size, he has the athleticism. Even players like, you know, Ian Book, Tanner Morgan, Brock Purdy, these are small quarterbacks who, while they were good last year, they're not necessarily fitting that mold that most teams still want.
Well, last question here for NFL Draft Scout and insider from Bleacher Report, Matt Miller, with Peter Burns here on First Take, Your Take, is you talked about spring football, right? I mean, of course, everyone's talking about trying in the Power Five to play in the fall, but some of the different smaller conferences have decided to kick the can and play in spring. How is that going to affect anyone that wants to play on that next level if the NFL has already said, we're not really willing to move back our draft process?
It is incredible, man. And that's one of the things that it's so hard to figure out right now, because what does happen to a North Dakota State who has probably two top 10 players in their quarterback and left tackle? I think there would have to be some agreement by the NFL. Okay, if there's going to be spring football, even if it's the MAC or Ivy League, you know, other you know, conferences, the NFL is going to have to make some concessions for that. And we already saw this year, no compensatory drafts. So these guys can't enter that. So I believe, and I've covered the draft for a long time, I don't see why the draft has to be late April. If we're going to have conferences playing spring football, let's move the draft to June. And we're going to see this year. Guys were able to get into NFL camp without, you know, the 8 million weeks of preparation that they normally would have. So I think this year is kind of a test run of, man, could we do the draft in June, let these guys play their spring football, and then have a truncated process that's way too long as is, where maybe you still get a Senior Bowl, maybe you still get a combine. You're just not stretching that out over 3 months.
What would be amazing is if that the NFL would have said, hey, listen, we will do that. Would that have changed the mind of somehow the Power Five is handling their scheduling, saying, listen, we want these players to play, but a lot of them won't play them the spring? If the NFL would have come out and said, hey, no issues. Like, y'all finish your season when you can, because we want to get as much tape before we're making a multi-million dollar investment in a young man. It's fascinating stuff. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. Matt Miller, we appreciate the time, man.
Yeah, likewise, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
There it is. Good to talk to my friend Matt Miller here. I'm Peter Burns on First Take Your Take here on ESPN Radio. You could follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. All right, so I got some thoughts on the NBA restarting as well, too, and more of the big news of remember that the Cardinals game has been postponed today against the Cubs, as there was another Cardinals player that tested positive for COVID-19. We're following that developing story as well. Peter Burns in First Take Your Take with Jason Fitz. Welcome back. First Take, Your Take. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I'm Peter Burns in for Jason Fitz. Let's set the table for a good sports weekend, and that is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs, building your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. We saw some great sports yesterday in the bubble down at Walt Disney World, and this is what it sounded like from KBME 790. It was all James Harden.
Harden pulls back, shoots for three, cans it, back-to-back threes. And number 13 puts the Rockets back up 13. With 5:47 to go, he's got 37. Timeout LA, 8 straight for the Rockets, 102-89.
They beat the Lakers by 16 points. Rockets doing what Rockets normally do, 21 of 57 from three-pointers. On the other side of it, remember, LeBron did not play. They were just 2 of 19 shooting. And again, I am a little bit of worried. I wouldn't say that it's a, you know, DEFCON 1 or DEFCON 2 situation, a batten down the hatches, all hell's breaking loose for the Lakers, but the fact that they have not looked great in this bubble, yes, I know that they're the number one seed, they don't have to play for that seeding right now, does concern me when you don't have teams having to travel and go into Staples and play. When it's just a cone situation, you're playing in a bubble. Hey, it's a basketball tournament, and you better be firing on all cylinders. Right now, the Lakers are not doing that. A team that is doing that is this team led by Giannis.
Under 10 seconds to play. Miami is not going to foul. This one is in the bank. It is earning interest. What a comeback today. 23-point hole in the second quarter, 17 at the half. And the final score today, Bucks 130, Miami 116.
That call courtesy of WTMJ. They've done it before. The last time a team won by 14-plus after trailing by 20? Yeah, that'd be the Milwaukee Bucks, who did it last year, March the 15th of 2019. Oh, who they did it against? They did it against the Miami Heat as well, too. So it's almost like, it's Miami. We'll just put pedal to the metal when we want to, and they end up doing it. And again, down at 17 at the half, all of a sudden, boom, they snap their fingers saying, let's get real, let's do this. You know who else is getting real? He's unbelievable. He's Dame Lillard.
So here's the inbound from Simons. He gives it to Dame with Craig pressuring it. Pushes it across the timeline. Pulls up, gets the foul call, and count the three! A four-point opportunity for Damian Lillard.
45 points, 12 assists, tying his own franchise record of 11 threes in their beatdown of the Nuggets by 10 yesterday. Please give me this. Please give me the Blazers as the 8 seed and the Lakers as the 1 seed. I can't recall a 1-8 matchup, maybe since what? It felt like it was, what, Spurs, Mavericks way back in the day, like in 2010 or something like that, that I felt like there would be intrigue in the first round of a playoff. And that's what we could get. Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum right now. With no Avery Bradley, since he opted out of the Lakers, they don't have the perimeter defense. This is what I want when I was promised NBA basketball. And it's delivering.